Hi, I'm Phil Palucha from Billionaires in Boxers. Welcome to the latest edition of the Billionaires in Boxers show, where we interview fantastic leaders from all around the world, sharing insights that you need to know. So I am today joined by Ryan Warner. Ryan, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Phil, for having me. So excited to be here today.
Going to be a lot of fun, brother. It's going to be a lot of fun. For our audience who haven't come across you before, obviously we've been working together for a little bit of a while now, so I'm much clearer on who you are and what you do. Do you want to just kind of introduce yourself, take 60 seconds or so to let people know who you are and what you do?
Yes, definitely. So I am a consulting psychologist. I'm a speaker, executive coach, and I work with top level leaders and help them actually believe in themselves so that they can reach the top 1% of their industry. And I say actually believe in themselves because oftentimes we can reach a pinnacle of success and still have self-limiting beliefs and feel that, you know, we're an imposter. And I'm sure that everybody can relate to having that feeling maybe sometime in their life. And so as a trained clinical psychologist, as a leader, as an expert in human behavior, I ultimately utilize my knowledge to help individuals challenge those unhelpful thinking styles, boost their visibility, coach them so that they can learn more about themselves and their flaws and their strengths so that they can ultimately continue to reach that success as a top leader in their particular industry. So that's what I'm passionate about, and that's what I do.
I love that. Look, there's a lot to unpack there, but I want to start with, you know, the origin story. Why did that happen? What kind of inspired you to go into that line of work, do you think?
So it's very close to my heart because this line of work ultimately originated from my self-limiting beliefs and then the different challenges and the self-doubt that I've experienced in my life. Give you a quick background. I was able to obtain a bachelor's degree, a master's degree, and a PhD all before the age of 27 years old. And when people call me doctor, they're like, oh, Dr. Warner, right? And sometimes at 27, I'm like, oh, who are they talking about, right? And then I recognize, oh, I have all these accolades and awards and credentials behind my name. However, I still feel that sometimes I'm not good enough. And I still feel that sense of being an imposter. So throughout that time, I was in the military and I was a psychologist in the military working with top level leaders all across the world. And ultimately, I helped them start to believe in themselves. They were very high ranking individuals, but they had some self-doubt. And so I helped them challenge those thoughts. I helped them be able to learn more about their leadership capabilities and the strengths that they bring to the table, and actually taught them how to leverage their strengths so they can boost inclusion in the workplace and team dynamics. And also, I recognized I was doing that for them, but I wasn't really doing that for myself, right? I still doubt myself, right? And I recognized that in between the two ears that we have, this is our biggest barrier right here, our mind. And I want to use my expertise of human behavior to ultimately, you know, fight through that myself and also help others, you know, reach the pinnacle of success. So that's my story. And that's what motivated me to start my own consulting company. And now I work with leaders across the globe, leaders within the United Nations and military forces, all different type of countries throughout the world. And I help those very successful leaders actually begin to believe in themselves a little bit more so they can inspire change in their lives and within their teams.
I love that. And actually that touches a nerve for me as well, because I think I think most people I've met, me included, have a level of imposter syndrome. I was saying to somebody just the other day that we've won all these awards, yet again we've been ranked number one at what we do in the world for like yet another year, and I still have this impending feeling of one day they're going to realize that I'm nowhere near as good as they think I am. And even when like people are getting fantastic results, I'm always like, yeah, but that's because, and instead of taking some credit for it, it's like anything that goes, somebody said this to me once, anything that goes wrong, I take full responsibility for. Anything that goes right, I give someone else the credit. And I think there's a lot of people like that. I mean, I've worked with, you know, world leaders, politicians, you know, heads of banks, heads of states, heads of countries. And what's incredible is they all have a public persona and a personal persona. And the personal persona usually has a lot of doubt. And they're, you know, I was listening to one person the other day. I won't name him for obvious reasons, but I would suspect that everybody will own his books and everybody knows who this person is, right? They do a lot of interviews, television interviews, media interviews. I was talking to him and I asked him, like, what was your favorite interview you've ever done? He said, oh, I can't watch them back. I hate listening to myself. right? And he was deadly serious. He's like, I can't do it. I hate listening to the sound of my own voice. I hate listening to me talk. So yeah, so I really like that. So how do you actually go about achieving that then? Because it seems to be quite a universal problem that many people experience, is that imposter syndrome, is that self-doubt, is that horrible negative self-talk. So how do you begin to unpack that and help somebody to overcome that?
So first, I use psychological principles to help guide individuals within my particular coaching. So based on years of research, what does the data say about improving our self-confidence, mitigating the impact of imposter syndrome, et cetera, right? And I take all of that research and I implement it within my executive coaching. So utilizing those psychological principles, we learn how to challenge those what we call maladaptive thought patterns, okay? Mm. Also try to find the facts and the evidence to in turn turn on what we call our prefrontal cortex and mitigate the impact of what we call that amygdala, that emotional part of our brain, okay? Mm-hmm. So when we have more balance in our thinking, we're ultimately able to affirm ourselves better, validate ourselves better, so that we can actually start to believe in ourselves a little bit more. And in turn, that impacts our performance, that impacts how we treat others, right? And that impacts how we leverage our strengths. So number one, in executive coaching, we utilize that framework. And then number two, we obtain objective data through like 360 feedback surveys, and we obtain other data from others within their particular team or their particular life, whether it be family members, et cetera. And in turn, that helps gives us non-biased feedback, right, about that individual, in a more holistic approach. Hey, here are your areas of growth, and let's figure out how we can leverage our strengths to mitigate the impact of those weaknesses or those areas of growth. Okay, so number two would be those 360-degree feedback. And number three, I try to enhance their visibility so that they can in turn be able to serve as that top thought leader within their particular industry. So I often like to say a quote, and hey, you know this quote, right? Because you're the first person who said it. visibility plus credibility equals profitability, right? And that is really, sits really close to my heart, right? Because oftentimes there's a lot of successful leaders out there and they have that credibility, they have those awards, but sometimes that visibility, you know, causes some self-doubt as well. So I utilize and leverage the strengths that that I have and the platforms that I'm on to ultimately, you know, enhance their visibility. So whether it be, you know, writing an article about them on platforms that reach millions of people daily, right? And getting their name out there to enhance their SEO, to enhance their visibility, to ultimately improve their confidence and belief in themselves. So those are the three ways that I help my clients reach that pinnacle of success.
Okay, so I love the fact that you quoted my recipe for success, because I love it and I firmly believe it. You know, the visibility plus credibility equals profitability, because usually when somebody isn't as profitable as they want, it's one of those first two things that are missing. And you're absolutely right. You know, we come across a lot of people who will say, I'm not ready yet because, and then they stick these imaginary barriers in the way as to why they can't do it. Oh, I haven't got my website done yet, so I can't go and do that talk in case. And it's like, and what's hilarious about that for me is from an observer standpoint is, having been in hundreds of green rooms for both television and keynote speeches and keynote stages around the world, every single person in there has that imposter syndrome. Every person in there is thinking, everyone else in here is great, but I'm the fraud. But everybody else is feeling exactly the same way. I mean, it takes somewhat of a bit of a narcissist actually to go into that room and be like, I'm amazing. I deserve to be here. I don't come across many people who have that experience. So the other thing that you mentioned was about data. Now, as having been a client of mine, you know how much I love data. Data cuts through all the crap and it gets straight to the, here's what's actually happening, here's what's going on, and here's what we can do with it. So I love the fact that you're not reinventing the wheel. You're looking at what already exists, what lessons are out there, what data is out there, and making sort of data and science-driven decisions. I think what that question made me think actually whilst you were saying it, and I hope you don't mind me asking because I appreciate we didn't plan any of this, is, does this work for everybody? Because obviously there are lots of different types of leaders. There are the leaders who lead with their heart, soul, and passion, and they're very open and they befriend their team. And then there's the leaders who are a bit more military and they're a bit more standoff and I give the orders and you do them. Then there are those narcissistic leaders. And then there are the leaders who found themselves in a leadership position because they were good at their job, but were never really given the skills to lead. And they've just kind of had to develop them or try and figure it out as they go along. So they're all very different types of personalities. So would something like your work work for all types, or is there a particular type of person who you like to work with?
So I like to work with individuals who are passionate and motivated to continue to achieve greatness. Okay. Those who have a growth mindset. Are you open to growing? No matter if you feel that you're extremely successful right now, can you still improve further? Right. So for those individuals who always want to continue to grow and learn and improve, those are the individuals that I love to work with the most. Okay. And I'm very selective of who I work with, because a lot of individuals may come to me with a more closed or fixed mindset. And in turn, like, I don't want to feel that, you know, I'm working harder than my clients, right? Yeah, and I have to really push you and motivate you, then that's not a really great fit. Okay. So I take a very customized approach to everything that I do, recognizing that all needs are different. I was working with individuals in the United Nations just last week. And, you know, very, very high level leaders, they never really were taught how to convey a message and enhance their public speaking skills. It just happened in their roles that they were able to obtain. So we focus solely on how to be a great public speaker, how to be concise and yet clear in your messaging, right? And that was a particular focus of our executive coaching, right? So depending on where you're at, depending on your particular needs, we customize all of our experiences based on the needs of our clients.
Interestingly, there was a conversation I had a number of years ago with a friend and a client of mine who she owns the largest chain of rehab centers in the United States.
Wow.
Very, very impressive lady, does some amazing things. But she told me a quote that I remembered really well. And actually, I think it doesn't just apply to drugs and alcohol. I think it applies to lots of aspects in our life, including what you've just mentioned now. What she said to me is, it takes a lifetime to change somebody, but only a second to change. And I think what she was getting at there was, you can try and get that person to become a better leader. You can try and get that person to quit smoking or give up alcohol or whatever it is, right? But you just chipping away, chipping away, chipping away is going to take you a lifetime. But the very second that they decide to change, that's a powerful internal process as opposed to an external process. So when you're talking about wanting clients who are ready and hungry for it, they've already made that decision that I want to be a better leader. I want to achieve more. I want to do more things. I want to have more impact, whatever that's going to be. Could even be a financial thing. I want to make more money. Either way, you've made the decision. Whereas, but I've often found that when I've done corporate work, particularly historically, the CEO or the founder may be really interested in this, but when they send their executive team, they've been sent. It's like, you're going to do this work. And they weren't ready to change. They didn't want to change. They didn't even really want the training. Somebody else made this decision for them. There is a very big visible difference, and I'm sure you've experienced this too, between the people who turned up at your door and say, yeah, I'm kind of here because my boss said I need to do it, and the people who turned up and said, I'm here because I want to be a better leader. I want to achieve X.
Yes, definitely. Yeah, so, yeah, and if we recognize, like, for instance, you go to the gym, and you get your personal trainer lifting all the weights for you, then you're not going to really benefit from that, right? So there's a sense of discomfort that comes with really sitting and sitting with, hey, these are the areas I still need to improve in, right? However, that discomfort is going to leave that growth and ultimately help you reach, you know, unimaginable heights.
I've actually always found that I prefer to do that on a personal perspective with somebody external, right? Because internally, you know, both in my family and in my business, I am the leader. I'm the person driving this forward. So I always worry, and maybe this is the wrong thing to do, but I always worry about saying the words to my team, I don't know, or I'm not sure, or I'm not very good at that, because it doesn't instill confidence. In fact, there was a line from, it was a bad movie, but it was years ago. There was a movie called U-571. I think it came out in like 2001 or something. It was a World War II submarine movie. And the captain of the ship turned to his crew and he said, I don't know what to do next. And he got shouted at by a confidant later saying, you never say those words. The captain always knows what to do, even when he doesn't know what to do. Right?
Yeah.
And that's kind of how I think a lot of leaders go into their business. They go in with this attitude of, I have to put up this front, like I'm completely comfortable, I know everything that's going on, even when they're nervous or they're overwhelmed or they're feeling imposter syndrome, or, you know, as many people have experienced, words coming out of your mouth and your team are hearing them, and in your head you're going, you don't believe any of this. Why are we saying this?
So there's a sense of vulnerability that great leaders are able to lean into. Sense of vulnerability that maybe feel a little uncomfortable, but still safe within the work, right? So that's one aspect that I also work with my clients in. And how can you display that vulnerability as a leader to influence your team and also to model, you know, that type of, you know, necessary type of behavior and trait, right? Because you create that psychological safety in the workplace. I think it's, you know, the leader's job to, you know, model that and do so, so that all employees come to work and they feel that they belong and feel that they're engaged, right? So to really get to the top 1% of your industry, you have to have that sense of vulnerability and have that sense of emotional intelligence, okay? Research shows that the most successful trait that all leaders have is high emotional intelligence, okay? Right. You have to know about how your emotions are influencing your behaviors, your view of the world, and your view of your team, okay? If you have very low emotional intelligence, then it's going to be very challenging to, you know, motivate and inspire others. So that's essential.
I like that. When you talked about the 360 assessment, how well do you feel that's typically received? Now, the reason I asked that particular question is most people I know, when they're looking to change something or improve something, they typically look at it in isolation. They look at it as a siloed thing, you know, using the gym analogy. It's like, I want to get bigger shoulders. I want to get bigger arms, right? But they don't think about their overall physique and their physical condition. And, the personal trainer is going to say to them, no, we need to have a mix of cardio, a mix of weights, right diet. You know, it's got to be a blend of things as opposed to just that one thing. But I'm sure you see it as often as I do. Somebody will come to you and say, I just want to be better at speaking on stage. I just want to have more sales inbound leads. I just need more people to know my name and then everything will be fine. How do you go about introducing them to that 360 assessment that's going to look at every single aspect when right now all they're focused on is one particular thing?
So I first would ask them, how has that focus on that one particular thing, how far has that gotten you thus far, right? You may have seen some success, but you also recognize that there's some gaps that you haven't been able to examine. So we have to take a multifaceted, you know, multidimensional view when we improve our leadership development. Similar, like our health, right? I can go to the gym all day and I can eat healthy, but if I'm not taking care of my mind, right? If I'm not, you know, engaging in those psychological, emotional exercises, then I'm not really reaching my optimal potential. So I help leaders reach their optimal potential by gathering, you know, that feedback. And that feedback specifically could relate to not only their leadership skills, okay, or how good are they able to influence change in their teams, but also what about their emotional awareness, okay? What about their emotional regulation when they get frustrated and when things don't go their way? How do they manage conflict within the team, you know, within their organization? How do they deal with stress, okay? Because we know that the top leaders are able to, you know, have a sense of, you know, emotional regulation and, you know, distress tolerance, right? So recognizing that, looking at what is their most significant gap that they see right now in their life, and then giving that 360 to ultimately, you know, bring up some other things that may be underneath the surface, that's going to be a way that you can reach your ultimate potential when you have that data. And then we can come up with a game plan and particular practical strategies so that you can improve in those domains.
Beautiful. I love that. I'm gonna ask you in a few minutes about who it is that should be getting in contact with you and how. But I wanna start to end the interview with this. I love golden nuggets. I love actionable things. I love tangible things. So whilst I've got you here and you're talking about leadership and achieving that top 1%, what are two golden nuggets or hot tips that you could give to me and the audience about how to achieve and how to start to strive towards that top 1%?
Definitely. So number one, you have to be intentional about affirming yourself. So oftentimes we often, you know, maybe subconsciously or consciously seek validation, right? We want those star reviews. We want that team saying, hey, you're doing a great job, right? And we feel better about ourselves naturally. But we in turn need to start with affirming ourselves because that has to come within. Wait to get that external validation. The times that we get it, it's going to be really helpful and we're going to really feel good. But the time that we don't get it, then we're going to start to doubt ourselves. And those maladaptive thought patterns are going to start to creep in, okay? So number one, affirm yourself. And no, I don't mean that cheesy, oh, you're doing great, keep it up. I mean, no, like, what is something deeper that's going to establish emotional connection? And something, for instance, I say to myself is when I start to doubt myself, hey, you were born for this, right? You are meant to be here. When you walk into a room, that room is now going to be better because you're sitting in that room, right? Those are the things I say to myself in a conscious type of way. And in turn, at the beginning, I may not believe it, but as I say it to myself over and over again, I'm going to start to, you know, internalize it. Okay.
Yeah.
So number one, affirm yourself. And number two, recognize that you do not have to do this alone. Okay. We know that leadership often sometimes is very lonely. Okay. We all heard it's lonely at the top, right? And also experience a lot of depressive symptoms and isolation and withdrawal often comes from top level leaders. There's a lot of research and data to support that. Okay.
Mm.
So we have to recognize that avoidance, okay, withdrawal, we may feel that helps us in the short term. Okay. But in the long term, it's maladaptive and not helpful. Okay. So how can we also recognize that this is a team sport? We cannot reach that top 1% or we cannot reach those goals that we're striving for alone. Okay. So being able to, again, sit with that vulnerability, you know, step into that vulnerability and say, hey, I know a lot. I'm very successful. But, you know, I feel that this is my pain point. This is my weak point, and I need some additional support. That's also essential with continued self-improvement.
Nice. I love that. Affirm yourself is such a big one, isn't it? Because you're right. I think most of us are guilty of kind of reaching for that external validation. And like you say, that's great when it's there. But when it dries up, then what? Because then you start to doubt yourself. And, you know, I'm certainly guilty of that. I can admit to that even on the show. You know, there's times when I'm not so bad now, but I used to be awful with this. Like I would do, like, let's say a mastermind call. And there'd be 20 people on the mastermind call. And I'd finish that call and 10 of them would message me and tell me how amazing it was and how powerful it was and how much it moved them. And I'd go, oh, so 10 people didn't like it.
Yeah.
Right? So that's what would happen in my head. I would completely dismiss all the people who just told me how powerful it was and instantly focus on the 10 that didn't say something. So I'm completely with you in terms of that, looking for that internal thing. And again, I love the fact that you said it's something deeper, right? I mean, I remember... like when was it 2006, 2007 when Rhonda Byrne's Law of the Attraction movie came out and people started doing that self-affirmation stuff. And I remember hearing so many people saying, I feel like I'm such a fraud. I stand in the mirror every morning and I say to myself, I'm a millionaire. I'm successful. I'm brilliant. And they're like in the back of their head, they're going, no, you're not. No, you're not. No, you're really not. And it just seems completely counterproductive to be standing there and lying to yourself. So like you said, to have something that goes deeper, that touches something to the core of you, that is almost external to the current reality that you're living in, as much as it isn't situational. It isn't something that you're saying to yourself today and then tomorrow you say something different. It's almost like creating that own internal mantra, almost something that actually touches at the core of you that you can remind yourself who you are. And I think that's super powerful. And I love the you're not alone. You know, you've heard me say this a lot of times. You know, business is a team sport, and it really doesn't matter how good you are at what you do. If you're not surrounded by other people on the field who are equally as good at their role, you're never going to win a trophy. You know, a lot of our audience are American, so an example I use a lot is you could be the best quarterback in the world, but if you haven't got a defense in front of you, you're going to get crushed and have broken bones in about 10 seconds. And that's going to be the end of your career. So you could have been the best in the world at what you do, but if you're not surrounded by that troop, that team, that family, that situation, that business, you're going to sink fast. So I think those are two really important reminders, and I absolutely love that. So thank you. To kind of wrap up, how can people get in touch with you? And more importantly, because I know you're a very busy guy, who should get in touch with you? Who is sat listening to this right now that we almost want to like poke them on the shoulder and say, hey, he's talking to you. You're the person that needs to book this call.
Yes. So number one, if you are hungry and motivated to improve as a leader, as a person, as someone who influences and inspire others, those are the individuals that I want to work with. Okay. Not those who, oh, I think I'm motivated, but it may not be the right time right now. No. Are you hungry right now? Do you want to go to the next level? Okay. Number two, do you have some sense of intrinsic motivation, but maybe you just need that little nudge or that accountability partner or that coach, right, to help you continue to learn more about yourself, to give you those practical strategies that you can continue to, you know, improve and make that change, okay?
Mm.
And then I think number three, do you want to get to that top 1% of your industry, right? Is that your goal? Do you want to be one of the top, you know, leaders or professionals or thought, you know, leaders, right, within your particular field, right? If that's you, you know, please feel free to reach out. And also, when you reach out, be specific. Say, I heard you on Billionaires and Boxers, right? And maybe your message resonated with me. Hey, can we set up a strategy call, right? So just please let me know, you know, where you heard this message. And in turn, I'd be really excited to, you know, get to know you better, see if it's a good fit.
Definitely. And I'm sure Ryan will give you a really sweet deal if you tell him you've come from us as well. No, I'm joking. But everything Ryan does is sweet. But listen, Ryan, thank you so much for being here. I really appreciate your honesty. I appreciate your openness. I particularly appreciate the clarity around this. I mean, I think you're speaking to a point that a lot of people feel but are afraid to open up and share and talk about. So thank you for your honesty.
Yeah. So feel free to visit my website, www.rcwarnerconsulting.com. You can also just Google my name, Ryan C. Warner, PhD, or Dr. Ryan C. Warner, and my information will come up and you can feel free to reach out to me, or you can email me as well. So feel free to look at my information and reach out if you're a good fit.
If you are watching this on television, you'll need to check out one of those sites. However, if you are listening to this on podcast, radio, or watching this on our streaming channel, check out the show notes below. All of Ryan's details are there in terms of how to get his website, if you're a LinkedIn person, how to speak to him there, and how to drop him an email as well. So be sure to do that. Even if you just kind of want to ask some initial follow-up questions, absolutely welcome to do that. I know Ryan is very open in terms of that. Very busy guy, but when you get 5 minutes with him, it's certainly worth the time. So Ryan, thank you so much for being on the show. Really appreciate it. Final word for you, my friend. Anything you'd like to leave with the audience?
Yes, I would just like to leave with the audience, just identify, what is something, where are you going? Where are you trying to reach, right? I think sometimes we just go throughout life and just going, you know, in the motions, right? But what is the journey that you're on and what are you trying to achieve? Maybe that's more independence, more autonomy. Maybe it's more time with your family, right? Maybe it's being able to share your voice so you can make a change in this world, okay? Whatever that is, I want you to internalize that and then create that personal mantra, whatever works for you. And in turn, that's going to help you believe in yourself more. That's going to motivate you, and you're going to be able to inspire change within your organization and within the world. So I challenge everyone listening to this to engage in that introspection.
That's a phenomenal challenge. Ryan, thank you for your time.
Thanks so much. Take care. If that's what you want, making money while you in your box of shorts, feel like nothing and nobody is stopping you. Even when I said it was impossible, no need for hesitation. Feel P, yeah, that's your man. Go from the best kept secret to the go-to brand. Let's go. Hey, billionaires, billionaires in boxes. Hey, billionaires, billionaires in boxes. Hey, time to grow, make the world know all about you. Hey, billionaires, billionaires in boxes. Let's go.